If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today and take your outline out, if you will. We look forward to being with you tonight, if you're able to come, and if not, again next week. And if not, then love to hug a neck right after church this morning. That's our custom and something that we really, really value. Real quick, like Jason and Charity Rose, I know, are here. Would you guys stand up? Chad's brother and sister-in-law, where are they? There they are in the back. Can we give them a hand? It's great to have you guys here. Good to have Charity back. That's Charity Seitz, who worked with our youth and came up through youth here. And then Jason is Chad's brother, and they serve with one of my dear friends out in Washington, D.C. area. He happened to text me this morning, somebody I look up to an awful lot, Mark Lehman there, and they are the worship pastors there. And there's a lot of music in that Rose family. It's wonderful. If you don't have a Bible, reach in front of you. The ESV version is right there. You can turn to page 659, and you could follow along there. And again, take your outline out if you will. I have one main takeaway this morning from this message, and you could probably just say, then, well, why don't you just get it out of the way and let's just get out of church early. But I'd hate to do that to Pastor Justin and everybody else that's ministering to the kids, etc. So I'm going to do the homiletical, hermeneutical, three-point sermon for you because I'm required to do that in my second to last Sunday. I mean, that's true. Well, maybe not. This will be a shorter message than, at least it was in the first service. But how many know I have a way I can stretch things out? So I'll do my best, but actually it could be a little shorter message than usual. I am human today. I'm utterly human, for those that know me well. I've disappointed more people in my life than I even care to stop and think about. I've made more mistakes, and I have sinned more than I can number. I am made of flesh. I'm going to wear out. I am wearing out. Some days I feel plumb worn out. My body will weaken. My spirit shall depart someday because I am flesh. And on top of all of that, I am just like you, one who battles the flesh, as Paul called the sinful nature. So I need grace, and I need forgiveness, and I need mercy just like you do. There are times in my life that I feel on the mountaintop, and there are times I just soon dig a hole and crawl in it. Carla knows me better than anyone else, and she is willing to cut me slack probably more than I deserve. I know what it is to be loved, and I know what it is to be hated. I know what it is to be praised, and I know what it is to be criticized. I know what it is to have deep, close relationship and friendships that I treasure. Many of them have lasted decades, some of them just recently. And I know what it is to feel isolation and loneliness. I am just like you. The funny thing is, so is Billy Graham and T.D. Jakes and James Dobson and Beth Moore and Priscilla Shire. And all of us, we're all in this human thing together. So we tend to lose sight of that all too easily, and that is what I want to kind of set as a framework for what we're going to look at today. Because see, the challenge is that I buy into what many of us buy into, probably all of us on occasion, but it's a worldly philosophy that at times we place our hope in people, we place our security in people, our trust in people, our fulfillment in people. 2.5 weeks ago, one of the most turmoil-filled nights, I guess, of my entire life, the Cubs were playing in the seventh game of the World Series. And yes, I had to bring it up this morning. And then came a rain delay, then the 10th inning of the seventh game of the World Series. It was as if my whole life that night depended on Madden and Rizzo and Bryant and Chapman and Russell and Baez and the rest. And all that pent-up energy and unnerving emotion even now seems quite silly. Oh, it mattered. It mattered to this woman right here in the front row. She was jumping up and down, screaming, and I was shushing her because our guest was in their bedroom sleeping back in our guest room. That's how crazy Carla is for sports. And then she let me know the next day, it's over. I'm done, because that was a long October for her. But we screamed and we jumped and we danced, and in retrospect, it's such a small thing in the grander scheme of things. And for those of you who have put up with my sports analogies and things through the year, fine. go ahead then and you put in whatever your greatest interest is, your passion, what you love on this earth that brings you great pleasure and joy. Just put it in, because it's the same for all of us. It's just a human thing that we do. But somehow in the larger scheme of things, we tend to crave heroism. Those that seem larger than we are, celebrity icons. There's a scene that I always crack up over. 1964, when the Beatles landed for the first time on U.S. soil. Many of you remember it. And there's that fence there, and the girls were pressing against the fence, and they're screaming and crying, and their mascara's running, and they're weeping on each other over these Beatles that they'll never even know or meet, etc. And that has only given way today to reality TV and more paparazzi and elaborate tabloids, etc. The first professional athlete I ever talked to was Rick Barry. Many of you remember Rick Barry. I was in Miami Airport coming home, age 16, from my first missions trip. In the old days, we called them AIM trips, and there were only 5 offered in the entire Assemblies of God that year. And I cut that out of the Pentecostal Evangel, and I mailed it in and said, I want to go on an AIM trip. Came back, and I landed in Miami Airport. There was a 6'7" guy, just about my height, and I was looking at him. And I was just enamored. I'm from a town of 5,600 people in southern, south central Illinois. And here I am in Miami Airport, and there is Rick Barry, NBA Rookie of the Year, All-Star. I couldn't believe who I was talking to. Then the crowd kind of pressed in, and then I kind of had to step back. The Apostle Paul knew what celebrity was like to an extreme. You talk about being loved and hated, or desired and despised, celebrated and rejected. Paul knew all of that and more. And when he sat down to write to the Corinthians this first letter of the two, a long letter, 16 chapters long, he had something right out of the gate that literally, when you stop and pause, it took him a fourth of the letter, 4 chapters, basically on this theme. There was division in the church. I'm certainly not saying there's division in this church, but there was division in that church in that context. And he wrote about 3 people in chapter 1, himself, Peter, or Cephas, as he calls him, and Apollos. And he writes to them about these 3 outstanding men, but to the church about one another, these 3 that have invested in the church. And he asked them 3 rhetorical questions in the opening few verses of chapter 1. Number 1, he says, is Christ divided? Is Jesus divided? Number 2, was Paul crucified for you? And then he asked, were you baptized into the name of Paul? And of course, the answer is no, no, and no. And yet Paul continues from those opening words all the way through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, even into chapter 4, to deal with this issue of division and of them following after these people, these personalities. So if you read the text with me, chapter 3, verse number 1, I'm going to read it with some emotion this morning, which I typically would try to do, but I'm going to invite you to read it along and hear it with emotion, if you will. Picture Paul's heart here. But I, verse 1, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Corinthians, you are God's building. According to the grace that God has given me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, For the day, capital D, the judgment day, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Would you say amen? Amen. Number one, we tend to look to people. It's just human nature. Something within all of us. And if you'll notice here, Paul is putting this in perspective. We are in chapter 3, but he began this early, verses 9 and 10 and 11 of the opening chapter. And so he has been on this subject. So we're just kind of joining midway. I wish I could have read all three. But I want you to note here, who are these men that Paul is addressing, including himself? Who are they? He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. They're just men. They're men gifted for a task. And no wonder they were admired. No wonder when you look at Paul, he was appreciated and followed. And even Paul, in some of his letters, he invited people to do that. Follow me as I follow Christ, because these are God's wonderful gifts to the church. And there's a huge variety of them. This goes so far beyond just leadership. This is all of the body of Christ today. The church of Jesus Christ. You look around the sanctuary this morning and realize every single one of you here are gifted by God to serve one another and to serve the community as we did yesterday. The problem is, though, we can sometimes just get a little too carried away with the gift and we forget the giver. And so he says, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gave the increase, the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. See, Paul is beginning now to touch on what I really want to get to this morning, but let's go ahead and build our way through the first two points, all right? First of all, that they're gifted men. They're gifted for a task. Secondly, they're combining for God's purpose. Verse 8, he who plants, he who waters are one. We lose sight of that sometimes. We have strong planters, or we have strong waterers, or we may have strong harvesters, and we get caught up in one of them. But we have to realize what Paul is saying here is that each is going to receive his own reward, but the fact is they all work together as one. And that's true of the church today. So it's not about people or persons, individuals. It's about the body of Christ. And each are given abilities and talents, but it's not about that. It's that they all come together to serve together as one. And then Paul tends to really drive home something into chapter 4 that we won't read today, and that is that they're all accountable for their work. So they're gifted for a task, they're combining for one purpose, and they're all going to be held accountable someday. They are stewards. Now here's where I think it gives us cause to pause and to think just a bit here. Yes, God places people in our lives, the Pauls, Apolloses, the Peters in our lives that are gifted, they're called, they're assigned, they're responsible, they're accountable. And yet Paul says here, the church is the field. The church is the building. And we know he's not talking of a structure, though, in a symbolic sense, but he's talking about that he is building a structure, the church. He is building people all together. They are the field. So tell me today, where is the fruit to be manifested from? Where are we looking for the harvest to come from? Is it Paul? Is it Peter or Apollos? No. The fruit is to be coming from the field, and the field are the Corinthians. The field are the Springfieldonians. the field our central assembly today. And God uses these men and to people to work together. And we know that is true, found throughout the Word of God in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, he says, I gave apostles and prophets and evangelists. Jesus gave shepherds and teachers for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so often we get this backwards. So often we're thinking, well, you're the minister, you're the minister. And we look to our leaders, but we have to realize what the plan of God is that we would equip the body of Christ, God's field and God's building, to produce the fruit. See, the danger is we often tend to look to others rather than realizing that God's gifted me to do what he's called me to do and you to do what he's called you to do. And sometimes we can rely on the Pauls and the Apolloses and those Cephases that are in the church. We can look to them and sit back and say, well, they do the ministry and then I just receive. I come because I need it because I'm tired at the end of a hard week and I'm ready for a new week. But that's not biblical. Pastors and leaders are merely servants called and gifted by God to do what God has called them to do. So we tend to look at people. Number two, we tend to fall into division. And that just comes with following people. And how amazing, it kind of sounds ridiculous, but many times we can follow an individual more than we follow Christ. And that's why Paul opens up saying, was I crucified for you? Were you baptized into my name? And it's rhetorical, of course not. And yet that's really what sometimes we may fall into when we divide ourselves the way Paul says, and we're not focusing on Jesus. So you have someone that's invested in your life, and then you look to that person. And then someone else comes along and they invest in your life. And then you look to that person. And all of us here, we have so many people that have blessed us and invested into us. It just fills the church all over the globe today. Everywhere you look, you find a church, you will find people that planted and watered and harvested and ministered to. And everyone, we all are a part of this all together. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But the danger is many times is that we fall into division by following people. And again, what did Paul say here? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Anything. It's just God that brings the growth. Now that's hard for us because we love people. That's hard for us because we love each other. That's hard for us because we look to leaders or look to those who care about us. And so our hearts many times are we struggle with that. But when we come into this incredible book, realize for four entire chapters, Paul opens up on this topic and he sticks with it for four chapters. We get down to verse number 10 of chapter 1 and he says, hey, by the way, writing this long letter, I heard a rumor. I talked to Chloe and she said there's a little bit of division there in Corinth. And by verse number 11, he just gets right to it. Verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1, he moves into these two points. We tend to fall into division by following people, using human reasoning rather than godly wisdom. We fall into what the world does, and we reflect a spiritual immaturity when we follow after people. And it's not that the Corinthians shouldn't have loved Paul. They loved Paul. He planted them, but he also turned it over and Peter came along and ministered to them. And he also turned it over and Apollos came along. And so one after another planted and watered and God gave the increase. And so he loved them and he was proud of them, but he did not want them to follow him. He wanted them to follow Jesus. So he said they needed to grow up, be spiritually more mature. Don't divide yourselves in following others, but come together and follow Jesus. Look to the screen, if you will. This is the NIV 84, which I have enjoyed through the years so much. But here's how he says it in verse number 10, opening chapter. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Now, that word in the Greek there, to be agree with one another, it means to declare something. It means to state something. It's verbal. It means to give expression to something. So here's how the Amplified Bible puts it, that you may be in full agreement in what you say. I like that. It's a picture. In other words, Paul was calling them to make a unified statement as a church that this is who we are, this is who we believe in. And he says, I'm hearing this rumor that it's really divided. We need to unite together and let's make a unified statement. We are following after Jesus Christ. How many think that's a good idea for any church? Now, why is this important? Well, to come back to sports. But yesterday, all over America, NCAA, all divisions, 1, 2, and 3, their teams, and what would they do? They huddle up, but before they huddle up in that tunnel, before they huddle up, probably in the locker room, and they have had the plan all week in mind. They've got their game scheme laid out. Everybody knows what their role is, all of that, but you get ready, and they get in that tunnel, and typically there's a little bit of jumping, and there's some hooting and hollering, and they're getting ready, and there's some kind of a unified expression, we are ready to go to war in this game. And the University of Illinois, they're horrible, I might add, my team, as we move on. But it's important that they express that. Now, those of you that want to get off sports, fine, let's go to politics. Wow, calm down, my goodness. I didn't think that'd bring any reaction this morning, not at all. What happens at a convention? Either party, what happens? The caucuses are there. And they stand there and they proudly speak into that microphone, Mr. Chairman, I represent the great state of Missouri and all of our votes, etc. And what are they doing? They are proclaiming together to bring unity, hopefully around a unified candidate. And let's just move on with our message this morning. What's the point? Unity. It's to make a statement. In the same way as you get ready for a game, we're ready. We're getting ready for a convention, for an election. We're ready. It's unified. It's unity. That's what Paul is saying here. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another. Greek, declare it, state it, give expression to it, that there would be no divisions, but that you'll be perfectly unified in mind and in thought. That's chapter 1, verse 10. And he spends the next few chapters addressing it. Above all, he wants them to live above the fray. The conventional thought, the worldly wisdom, get rid of all that. Be mature, grow up in your walk with Christ. And then he comes to chapter 3, and we come to the end of chapter 3, and this is what I wanted to get to. So all of that is my introduction this morning. Chapter 3, verse 21. So let no one boast in men. Could I hear an amen? Let no one boast in a man. It's imperative in the Greek. It could read, no more boasting about men. Why? Paul gives the reason, and here's what I want you to get a hold of today. For all things are yours. Say that with me. All things are yours. Let's make it personal. All things are mine. All things are mine. Verse 21, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. Again, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. We tend to forget that we have everything. Everything. We just do. What more do you need than God? What more do you need than what God provides for you? See, first of all, it's through all the gifts that he's given us. And they are bigger and broader than we tend to celebrate. Those Corinthians are not just, he's not just focusing on the men that they're kind of dividing over, etc. But look what he says here. He says, hey, Paul belongs to you. Peter belongs to you. Apollos is yours. But on top of that, the whole world is yours. Life is yours. Death is yours. The present is yours. The future is yours. It's all yours. And we lose sight of this. We worry about these things. But the crux of Paul's point here is that we don't have to be possessive with people or with things. We don't have to worry and be anxious about our tomorrows. We don't even have to worry about life and death. It all belongs to us. Our leaders, they're ours. Paul, Peter, Apollos, whomever there was leading the church in Corinth, they all belong to Corinth. The world, it's yours to enjoy. Life, you have it here, and you have it even better in the life to come. Death, that doesn't even have power over you. You are freed from that. You own death because you know who owns the power to hell and to death, the keys, and his name is Jesus. So when you die, you just have better life. When you leave this life, you move right on into life and life more abundantly. The present, whatever you're facing, it's yours. God will take care of us. And the future is His as well. The wealth of what we have as believers is unbelievable today. So there's no need to divide up or try to grab over people or things. God's given us everything we need. We tend to forget we have everything through all of God's gifts, through belonging to Christ, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, our Lord, and then through Him we have what? A relationship then with God our Father. Friends, you have everything you need this morning. I really want this to get into your heart. I really want you to get a hold of this. Relax. Breathe deep, assured, and trust that God gives you everything that you need. In fact, God has you in the palm of His hand this morning. Not only you, but He has you in the palm of His hand this morning. Matter of fact, He has your present right now in the palm of His hand. And He has Central Assembly's present in the palm of His hand. He has your future, palm of His hand. It's already yours. He says it's yours. Your life, your death, your present, your future, it's all yours. So what should we do? Well, just a few things. Number one, do not fret then over people. And that includes me. Now, you can fret over Carla, but you don't have to fret over me. That includes whoever you look to, sometimes divide up over. You know, we tend to have some pretty good adult Sunday school classes at Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri. I'd say the best in the entire world when I think about it. But Dr. Harris and Pastor Dunn, Dr. Rayleigh and Dr. Wave and Pastor Flower and Dr. Grant Jones and Dr. Cotton and Pastor Ron, and you go down, I know I missed somebody, but you just go down that list, come on. And many of you, you divide over, and I'm telling you, you stand boldly. You've got the best class and the best teacher in the world. Well, let me just let you know today. They all belong to Central Assembly. And Central Assembly belongs to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to God the Father. So what? Guess what? Don't fret over people. We're all one. We're all one. And don't fret then over the present or the future, because God holds it in His hands. And don't fret over life or even death. I had Jason stand earlier in charity. It's because for Pastor Chad and his family then, his grandfather passed away, and yesterday was one of the most incredible funerals I've ever been to. It was almost like you would call it immaculate. It just was a perfect funeral. And we celebrated the life that Orland had, and we celebrated generations, and we celebrated music. I mean, music just, I did leave bitter at God, because that family, it's disproportional what they have musically. How many know what I'm talking about? But that's sometimes how God divvies out gifts. But I just left there with such a joy. It's almost a conflicted thing, because you're grieving, but you're joyous. We're grieving, but we're joyous. We're grieving, but we're joyous. So don't fret over people. Don't fret over today or tomorrow. And don't fret over life or death, because you know what? We have all we need in the Lord. It's going to be okay. So we need to do something this morning. I hope that this will be impressed into your mind and into your heart. But again, 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, Paul says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, the Greek, to declare it, to state it, to give expression to it, so that there will be no divisions among you, that you'll be perfectly united in mind and thought. So I'm going to ask all of you right now to stand together. Would you do it? This will be a test of my leadership ability right now. Wow, is that slow. Can we stand together? All right. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to wake up. Wake up the person next to you and then have them stand, please. All right. I want you to stand. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that some of you hate, but you know what? Don't have me for too long so you can hate me for it. I want you to reach across the aisles and join hands all the way around this whole building, okay? Would you do that for me? I know you hate it, and you have sweaty palms and all that. Well, we've got the squirter things out there afterwards. You can clean your hands in just a moment, all right? Okay. Now, I didn't say talk class. I said join hands. Okay. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want to do what Paul told us to do. And that is that we need to agree with one another, declare it, state it, and give expression to it so there's no divisions among us here. Can we all say this together right now? We are one in Jesus Christ. Now that was all right, but turn to your neighbor and say we're pretty weak for an audience this size, all right? Come on, come on, come on. All right, here we go. Let's say it again. We are one in Jesus Christ. Come on, guys, move the next one. Here we go. We have all we need from God. Amen. Our present is secure in Him. Our future is secure in Him. Our world is secure in Him, even with Donald Trump as our president. Amen. Keep moving. My life is secure in God. My death is secure in God. My leaders are secure in God. And say it, my church is secure in God. Let's give Him praise this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Now you can be seated. You know, 6.5 years ago when we came here, you can go ahead and come chat if you would. There was a man I'd never even met and yet heard about right after we came here, and that he had served as an interim for many, many months. And then at that point, he and his wife were kind of floating around Springfield a little bit, and we invited the Tuckers to come back to Central Assembly. And we did the right thing. Amen? Aren't they a blessing? Amen. Little did I know, I had no idea, sitting at Big Mama's in the back there, that table, Don, that's the first time I met with you. Little did I know that he'd become such a dear friend and a man that I just could trust and work with and hate to leave, as I hate to leave all of you in a matter of a few weeks. But you know what? It's just to me an illustration of this morning, because it's not about him, it's not about me. Before him, Jim Bradford. Before him, David Watson. No, before him, George Wood. Before him, David Watson. Before him, the Brother Wanamaker. 25 years, pastor of pastors. And then before him, you've got to go look on the wall, because they usually didn't last very long around here. I mean, it was like a year or two, and there's a whole bunch of them through the years. He came to Wanamaker, came to Brother Watson, came to Brother Wood, Dr. Wood, came to Dr. Bradford, came to Brother Tucker, came to Brother Peterson. How many know God has it all in His hands? See, the point is that it just all works together. If we'll just stay unified, Central Assembly, please, would you give me your word this morning? Would you give me your word that you will stay unified for Jesus? And you'll pull together. And you are, but you won't let anything disrupt that unity. Be one in Christ. If you're divided over anybody today, just let it go. Grow up, mature, and be what God wants you to be. And serve God together. And you know what? As one board member said to me, and I appreciated his words very much, he said, I believe a year from now, you're going to look back and you're going to say, God is good, and it's all working out just fine. And I replied back, and I pray the same for Central Assembly. What else do you think I'd want after 6.5 years of giving the best that I feel like I could give? Plenty of faults, but I gave them my best. I just want you to stay unified, because you know what? God's got something good. He might even like sports more than me, and it's going to be awesome. I mean, he's just going to talk sports all the time. I don't know. All I can say is this, would you stay unified because of Jesus? And if there be any division, get over it and move on with Jesus. Move on with Jesus. Father, thank you for your word today. We are one in Christ. There is one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Father, thank you for Fusion. Thank you for Christian, what he's doing there. Thank you all the way down to our cradle role and to stand here with Matt and Kelsey today and realize, Lord, that there are little ones that we're dedicating to you and all the faithful workers and servants there, Lord, all the way up through our middle age, all the way to our seniors, God. Everywhere we look, we see the body of Christ. Lord, would you pray with me right now? Lord, keep us one. Keep us unified. Don't let anything divide us, God, because we are your body. We are your church, and you are the head. It is one Lord. So we have to bow to you and not to any man. So Lord, may we take heed to Paul's words. This is not about men. This is about the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. So pray with me now, Lord, keep us together. Keep us together as one. Help us, Lord, to move through whatever you have as we move into 2017. And God, I do ask you to help Carl and me. Thank you for a house that sold in 2 days, God. That's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what awaits us that will be with family. It's much premature to what we thought, but God, you're God. We just say amen and we move ahead in you. But Lord, we leave behind a piece of our hearts right here. And we pray, God, that they will be one in you and that you'll bless Central Assembly for your glory and for your honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.